Good morning, Lock Haven Baptist Church and church family. We're so thankful that you have joined us together again this morning as we go live on Facebook to spend a little time together with you. We are certainly in prayer for our family, our church family, and those that are going through this difficult time. Be in prayer for those pastors that are making decisions and churches that are trying to figure out how to navigate through all this that we're going through. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into a choir special here in just a moment. Father, we do love you. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here and to worship this morning together. Thank you, Lord, for the folks that have joined me on Facebook Live. We pray, God, that you would bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them during this time and hour we find ourselves in. We know, God, that it didn't catch you by surprise, but we are but flesh. And Lord, we lean upon you. And Lord, we need your help during this difficult time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. We have a choir special this morning. At the cross, listen as the choir sings.
Thank you.
the cross. What a good song the choir sung for us right then. I hope y'all can hear it okay. These are coming off of the archives. I'm having to get them downloaded to the church computer and then try to line up so that we only get the music so we can get everything kind of close to having a church service as we possibly can. I have enjoyed this opportunity that the Lord has given me to be with you. I would much rather be assembled in the house of God with you, but according to the situation we find ourselves in, it's not possible at this time. Now, I have a few announcements I would like to put out this morning. Our next online service is Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. with Sister Dyer and Jared. That's the Bible story continuation from what she started this morning. Now, if you did not catch that this morning at 10 o'clock, you can go back to the church Facebook page, and it is there. And you can get your Bible kids and your Sunday school kids to watch that, so they'll have a good understanding of Wednesday night's lesson. That's 6:30 p.m. this Wednesday night with Sister Dyer and Jared. There is a download that you can get off the church website, lockhavenbaptist.org, and download that coloring book, craft, work with it with your kids so you can have it for them. Then 7 o'clock in the pastor's study again this Wednesday, 7 o'clock p.m., the pastor's study this Wednesday. My wife has, for the last two Saturdays at 3 o'clock, had ladies' prayer time. So if you can join her at 3 o'clock, ladies, at Facebook Live, her page, and pray with her and spend time with her. I've watched them, and they have been a blessing to my heart to see the ladies spending time in prayer. Again, folks have asked about giving, and so I'm going to hit this really fast, and we're going to move on. You can mail it to the church, 14246 Boggy Creek Road, Orlando, Florida, 32824. You can go to your bank and do it through bill pay. You can drop it off and hand it under the door here at the church or to me, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And so please go ahead and do that. We're going to have a congregational song right now. Let me try to line it up so we only get the singing there. And it is, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
Thank you.
Sing the Wondrous Story. What a wonderful song. It's good to hear you folks singing there in the congregational song. Let's have a few moments just for a prayer request. We have an extensive prayer list that we're going over for the church. Many of you have still a copy of it. We pray for our church, our country, certainly our law enforcement and our medical personnel during this time, and our elected officials, our military. Be in prayer for them. There's several thousand of our National Guard around America that have been activated, and I'm sure there will be many more in the coming future. And then all those that have unspoken requests, our missionaries, certainly our missionaries. What a blessing it was this week. We was able to get our missionary support checks in the mail, going to our missionaries. I'm sure that there are many churches that will be hurting during this time and not able to give. So thank you, church, that we were able to continue our giving and our prayer support for our missionaries, our people that were praying for cancer, and our medical staff. And then I'd like to add the Hester family this morning. Many of you already know, Haley left this morning, headed to New York with 500 nurses that are going to on a missions relief, medical relief to New York. We don't know anything other than that at this moment. She is flying at this time as we even speak and headed to New York. So be in prayer for the Hester family, Daniel and Logan and Skyly and Grandma and Grandpa and Poppy and Gigi, because this is a difficult time for all of us. But God is good and God's in control. So please, if you have a prayer request at this time, would you just go ahead and type it in to the comment section there on the Facebook page so others can see it. So as we join our hearts together in prayer, they'll know what they are praying about. I see Sister Jill is asking prayer for her friend Anika's mother in Sweden who has the COVID-19. Be in prayer for the police officer's family that lost his life just yesterday from the COVID-19 and many, many others. So if you have a prayer request, go ahead and put it in the comment section. Let it come up. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, we thank you so much that you've allowed us an opportunity, Lord, during this to intercede on behalf of our family, our church, our cities, our nation, and the world. There are many, many hurt, not only by the sickness, but financially by the crunch that's been put upon us as a people to try to stem the climb and the spread of this virus. Lord, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of uncertainty. But there's one thing that we do know. You are God. That is absolute. You are in control. You are sovereign. So God, on the behalf of these that we are praying for and we put before your throne, we ask that your mighty hand work in each and every life. Bless us this morning as we meet together as a church family through this technology. God, help those pastors and churches that are making decisions day by day during this time. And God, we ask for wisdom, for without your wisdom, we will make so many foolish mistakes. Help us, Lord, to lean on you, find strength in you, and find encouragement in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I have lined up next, I have a song by the beautiful Girlhood, Behold the Lamb. So listen as they sing.
Behold the Lamb.
the Lamb. It is that time of the year where we put a lot of emphasis upon Easter and Easter Sunday. Of course, this time it has caught us off guard just a little bit, but it did not catch God off guard. The tomb is still empty. Whenever they put out the executive orders that we should not meet and have only 10 in the congregation and sit 6 feet apart and make a decision who we will invite to church and who we would not. And so the church family decided we would go this way live the best we could and meet the best we could. Well, this does not negate Hebrews, where it says, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together." So encourage those that are in our church family to join us at these times. And if they can't, Brother Spencer is uploading these to the church website. I mean, almost immediately, as soon as I'm done, they're posted as quick as he possibly can, sometimes within 30 minutes. But generally speaking, real shortly after we finish our live sessions, they're on the church website page, so they can go there, lockhavenbaptist.org, go to the sermons tab, and look there at the updated sermons, and they're all there. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's go to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 this morning and verse number 41. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the Word of God looking to God for help, encouragement, and strength during this time. Be very faithful on your own to spend as much time as you possibly can with God. This is what's needed. Maybe God's getting our attention and wanting us to just be still and hear His voice and look to Him and face where we are in our walk with Him. Perhaps our walk wasn't right with Him. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that judgment must first begin at the house of God. So we, as God's people, during this time, need to evaluate where we are in our walk with the Lord and our relationship, and cultivate it, build upon it. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 41. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the thing which belonged unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee around, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Now, this is Palm Sunday, and it's called such because as the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem, headed toward the great feast, the Feast of Passover, there was probably somewhere above 300,000 visitors visiting Jerusalem at this time, plus all the people that were there at Jerusalem. It was an exciting time for the Passover to be celebrated, and many folks looking forward to it. And Jesus come riding in on a colt that had never been ridden. You could back up to verse number 29 if you wanted to, and you can read on down, and you could see as he was near Mount Olives coming past Bethany, he sent two of his disciples into town and said, "Go bring me a colt that you're going to find tied up." The Lord, it says there in verse 34, if you'll see there, it says, "The Lord, this is what you're to tell the owner. And they said unto the owner, The Lord hath need of him." And I thought that was amazing, knowing that God is sovereign. But I looked at that the Lord really doesn't need much, nothing at all, because all belongs to Him. But I think this is a lesson for us, that the answer to our need is already there. You notice in the beginning of this chapter, it began with Zacchaeus. The Bible says Zacchaeus was a short man, a wee little man, and as he wanted to see Jesus, he could not see over the crowd, but there was a tree, a sycamore tree, and Zacchaeus climbed on up into that tree so he could get a look at Jesus. And many of you know that story. It's a wonderful story in the Word of God. But the point I'm making is that Zacchaeus had a need, and the tree was there. Jesus had a need, and the coat was there. You and I have needs. And I'm just going to tell you this as friendly as I possibly can. God has already placed the answer. We need to seek God. Get close to God. Run to God. Jesus said, tell the owner, the Lord hath need of him. Speaking of the coat. I would say to you this morning that the Lord has need of us. The Lord has a desire to use us. We're special. We're precious in His sight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that's you, that's me, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God has a need for us. I wonder what He wants from you today. Only you can find that answer out. Only you can search your heart, search the Word of God. Only you can spend time in your relationship with God, seeing what God has and desires of you. So they're headed down into the Passover, down to celebrate the Passover. It's a couple of days yet to come. And as they enter in during this time, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I mean, cheering, praising, worshiping the Lord as He rides in. They say in verse number 38, blessed be the King. This is them praising and worshiping the Lord. The passage we find ourselves at in verse number 41 through 44 is beyond this entry. Palm Sunday is done taking place. The worship is over. Everybody's gone on their way. And the Bible says here in verse 41, and when He was come near, Lord, come near to us today. Come near to us. Lord, help us to draw nigh to Thee. Great is Thy victory. Great is Thy faith. And the Bible says, when He was come near, listen what it says, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if Thou hast known, even Thou, at least in this Thy day, the things which belonged unto Thy peace, but now they are hid from Thine eyes. Here we find Jesus coming through a time of worship and glorification and adoration to Him. But at the end of the hour, at the end of the day, as He beheld the city, He looked out upon the people, He looked out upon the city. The Bible says He beheld the city. And I'll just be honest with you, dearly beloved. God looks upon us. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees us. Over in Hebrews, if you would, in chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 13, you'll notice what the scriptures say there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 13. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is. I went way beyond there. Maybe Hebrews chapter 3. No, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is Hebrews chapter 4. Now verse number 13. The Bible says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now in verse 41, back in Luke chapter 19, Jesus beheld the city. I want to tell you, it's a precious thing for you and I to know that the Lord looks upon us. He looks at us. He gazes upon us. He watches over us. He looks to see what we're doing. Everything is open and naked unto the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. As He looked at Jerusalem, a beautiful city, city of peace, as He looked at it and thought back upon the pomp and the circumstances of the day, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. As He looked back upon this, Jesus, as He looks and as He sees through all of the high road or the A game that you and I put on. We don't walk up to somebody and say, tell about how wicked we are. We're always talking about how good we're doing or how we're walking. We put out a front of our best, the pleasant things of life. But as Jesus beheld the city, as Jesus looks upon you and I, different, let me be honest with you, Jesus looks beyond the A game. He looks beyond the pleasantries. He looks beyond the outward. He looks where the heart is. He told us in the Word of God, He said, your lips speak of Me, but your heart is far from Me. Over in Revelation chapter number 2, Revelation chapter number 2, here we have the church of Ephesus in verse number 1. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works. Well, how did he know their works? He's looking upon them. He's watching them. He says, I know thy labor. I know thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. How did he know all this? He's watching them. He's looking at them. How does he know the things about you and I? He looks at us. He watches us. His eyes over us, and he sees all that we're involved in, all that we really are. In verse 4, he says to the church at Ephesus, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. As Jesus looked out at the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace, and we live in Orlando, the city beautiful, and he looks down into our lives, and as good as we think we are, and the facade that we put up, and all the world and its superficialness, and the airs that we put out, Jesus looks down into where we are and who we really are. And he could look into the city of Jerusalem, and he could see that the city of peace had become a city of war. And I'm telling you, as Jesus looks into our lives, the Bible teaches us that the spirit and the flesh, they war against one another. And they fight, and they pull, and they tug one toward another. And I believe often, dear friend, as Jesus here looked down and he beheld the city, and it grieved him, I believe many times, as he looks beyond our outwardness, he looks beyond that which we show others. And I'm afraid that many times in our lives, child of God, that he's grieved, like he was there in the church at Ephesus. He looked at him and said, I see your patience. I see you stand against wickedness. I see that you are striving to do that which is right, but it's all out of you. It's all out of your desire for others to see what you're doing. And he said to them, nevertheless, listen, the facade that we put out that hides the sin that we covet and the sin that we behold in our lives, the guard, the cloak that we put over with the smile that hides that inwardness, that inward decisions that we make. He's looking at us. He's concerned with where we're at. I believe he's concerned with this world. If it was not so, he wouldn't have gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed them should not perish. He's concerned, for God so loved the world. He's concerned with where this world is at right now. He's concerned with the situations that's going on. Every person that gets this virus and goes on into eternity is going to spend eternity somewhere, dear friend. And God sent His Son to die for those. We have to understand that life is short. It's but a vapor. It's here for a moment and it's gone. We have to be very careful that we're not just doing religion for us. That we're not just doing church attendance for others to see us. But that we're assembling ourselves together that we might be perfected for the work and the ministry of God. And the ministry of God is reconciling lost people. He said here in this chapter that we are reading at, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, in Luke 19:10. He's looking at us. He's watching us. He knows where our heart really is. We may have fooled everybody in the whole congregation in the church, but we haven't fooled God. We haven't hoodwinked Him for one moment. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, as a child of God, when we wander off into a backslidden state and we desire our own agendas and we desire our own way of thinking, we don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit of God as an instrument of righteousness, dear friend, it grieves Him. And the Bible says here, as He beheld the city, He wept. I mean, He wept. That shows His concern for the pain of the city. Listen, He was looking beyond the cross. The cross is coming in just a week. At this point, the cross was coming in a week. But these next few verses talk about Titus coming into the nation of Israel and into Jerusalem and ransacking and destroying even the temple and tearing it down. The war that was at hand. Listen, Jesus is looking beyond today for us. We have a job to do for God, and that is to reconcile the lost world to our Heavenly Father. You and I, which are children of God, have the privilege of saying, Abba, Father, we love You. Father God, thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we might not have a new dress this Sunday. No, we may not have new shoes to show off this Sunday. No, we might not have a new Easter basket to bring and show somebody at church. And we might not have our hat that we get to wear before everybody. We might have to sit here just like we are at our pastor's study, in your living room, some of you in your pajamas, some of you got up, got dressed like you were headed to church, some of you are coming from work, some of you flying on airplanes watching this. We might not have all this, but different, I'm going to tell you, next Sunday, the God of heaven, the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is alive and forevermore looking into our lives. And what will we do with this moment? This very chapter goes on from Zacchaeus moves into the talents that the Lord of the kingdom passed out. And he passed one, and he passed two, and he passed three, he passed five. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. And he gave those talents, and he went away. The Lord is coming again, dear friend. And he's going to reconcile with us what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. And he came to those and he said, what have you gained? Look what the Bible says here in verse 23 in our chapter 19 of the book of Luke. This is what the king says. Wherefore, then gavest now not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? God is going to require what he gave to us. What are you talking about, preacher? Look over with me in John chapter number 15. Hold your place there in Luke. John chapter number 15. And look at verse number 15. John chapter 15 and verse 15. The Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He said, I chose you, you didn't choose me, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. That's usury. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of us, to seal us until the day of redemption, and he expects us to be busy for him. He expects us that we would cry out on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up. I think too often we get too concerned with the building, with the gathering of the people, and we say, look at us, and we're not lifting up Christ. I'm not saying that this is the reason this came. But I am saying that at this moment, because it's here, we need to evaluate how the Lord Jesus Christ sees us. How he sees us as an individual. How he sees us as families. How he sees us as a church. And we are to be busy not building our kingdom. Not building our little bitty plateaus. But we're to be lifting Christ up high. And allowing Christ to get the glory and allowing men to see our works and bringing glorification to God the Father. He beheld the city. He looked beyond the outward beauty. And he saw where they were at, his people. Jesus is looking at us today. He was grieved by the sin that was overtaking them. He was troubled by the situation that Jerusalem has found themselves in. And you know, we as American people, too often, if we're not careful, we look at all that we do have, all the material things that we enjoy day by day, and we forget what we need. And we need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But sin creeps in. And sin separates our hearts and dethrones God from the throne of our hearts. And takes the place of God and becomes what we live for. And we need to die to self and live for Christ. The Bible says he wept. And as I thought about this and I pondered this, why was he weeping? Verse 42 says, saying, if thou hast known, if thou hast known, if we would seek first the kingdom of God, if we would understand that Jesus looks beyond the mask that we put out, that Jesus is grieved when we allow other things to take his rightful place in our life. Why is that? Because Jesus knows the great potential that lies within us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. He said, if thou hast only known, in verse 42, what Jerusalem could have been, the city of blessings, but was fixing to become a city of war. What we could be, peacemakers, reconciliers of the lost to Christ, advocates, intermediators, standing in between those that are living in sin, like holding up the serpent in the desert that stopped the snakes from biting, like Abraham standing there and interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do we look at our city, the city beautiful, and we say it's just too wicked? That is, I'm not concerned. Are we like Jonah and we're refusing to go to our city like he refused to go to Nineveh? And God has to put us in the belly of a whale to wake us up and to stir us and to shake us because he knows the potential that lies within us? We that are children of God, we have the great God of the universe that lives within inside of us. He loved us enough to move in. This body is his temple. And Jesus knows your potential. So, but I've blown it. Let me tell you something different. There's not a one of us listening, not a one alive that hasn't blown it one way, shape, form, or another. But I can tell you this. A great future walking with God far outweighs and is greater than any bad decision that you made in the past. Allow the past to die. Turn it over to God. Ask for forgiveness. He cast our sin into the sea of forgetfulness, far as the east is from the west, and allow yourselves to be used of God. Don't underestimate the power of God. Who knows what we could achieve during this time and hour if we only looked and ran to God and we humble ourselves before Him, and He will exalt us in due time. So as Jesus beheld the city, He began to weep at their brokenness. He understood the cross was coming in just a few days. He understood that the praise and the worship was gone. In just a few short days, those same people that was wagging and flagging and moving around the palm branches and shouting Hosanna would shout again, but it would be crucify Him, crucify Him. Jesus knew this. He understood the potential. He understands what we can and can do through Him. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. Do you understand something, dear friend? He longed to bring peace. Look what it says in verse 42. If thou hast known, even thou, speaking to Jerusalem, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. This isn't a peaceful time, church. This is a scary time. This is a frightful time. But, dear friend, if we're not careful, just like the nation of Israel missed their visitation. Is that what he said? Verse 44. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because, this is the reason, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I wonder just for a minute. I don't want to belittle nobody. I don't want to beat nobody about the brow. But are we more concerned with whether or not we have enough toilet paper and hand cleaner and mask in our homes than we are on the visitation of Christ coming by and spending time with us? Oh, that old song, in the garden, in the cool of the day. Perhaps all this has come about. For whatever reason God allowed it, it came through the hand of God. But perhaps God just wanted us to be still. Hear the need. Look and behold what's before us. He said the crops are ready unto harvest. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest. They're ready. Their wheat is white unto harvest. What did he say pray? Pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, God is visiting with us. During this time, I love the story of Joseph. Anytime these situations come up like this, I like to go back and reflect and meditate, spend time looking at Joseph. In all the difficult moments that came to Joseph's life, it said this, and the Lord was with Joseph. What does that mean? There was a visitation. The Lord was with him. The Lord's with us, dear friend. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God wants to bring you peace. Our problem is, if we're not careful, we're looking at what we don't have. We're going to the store, the Publix. We're looking at the news, and we're listening to the commentators, and we're reading on the blogs and the Facebook and the Instagram, and we're looking all the trouble that's before us, and we're forgetting how great a God we have. He's visiting. He's here. I mean, he's coming past. You know the story of the Passover? There was plagues, but Jesus, that lamb that was slain and the blood was put on the doorpost to represent the blood, the passing over. Jesus is risen. The blood has been applied to my life. And this morning, dear friend, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I plead with you and I beg with you that you turn your life over to Jesus. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. He's troubled about where we find ourselves. He's looking past the beauties that we put off into where we really are. And He knows what we can be if we only allow Him to work through us. And He wants to bring us that peace that we long for. I'm the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Preacher, what do we need to do? We need not neglect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can speak to somebody through your mask 6 feet away about Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Peace for individuals. Peace for families. Peace for our church. Peace for our nation. It can come now, but it's only going to come through the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the answer. Those tears, those heartaches, those difficult situations that are afflicting your heart and mind and bringing sadness to your life, dear friend, let me tell you something. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy that can be found in your life. Right now, if you just look to Jesus, look to Him for strength, look for Him for a time of refreshing. We're going to hear a song this morning from our youth choir. The name of this song is The Cross Changes Everything. Let me get it lined up here. We're going to listen to this song together. And then we're going to... Technology. Got to fast forward it here with my finger. My finger's sticking.
Just make his ways. I've been alone and broken.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning in the pastor's study. Don't forget, this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m., Sister Dyer and Jared will be back with the continuation of their Bible story for the resurrection theme that they're spending time with. And then at 7 o'clock this Wednesday, back here in the pastor's study. And next Saturday at 3 o'clock, ladies' prayer time with Sister Kim. They're live on her Facebook page. We're grateful that we have this opportunity to be together. And so make sure that you take opportunity to be used of God. Be careful that you are used for God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to meet together. Bless us, Lord, as we close out this time together on the Facebook Live. We ask, Lord, that you would get the glory and you would get the honor during this time and season which we're in. Lord, you're still on your throne, and Jesus is alive forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a blessed day.